As Steve was reading, I was reminded of something here. That really caught my attention, and it says, I think it was verse 29, later on, it says, and as Abigail's talking to him, it says, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies he will hurl away from the pocket of a sling, kind of, you know, referring to what David did to Goliath. And, you know, it just brought to mind, have you ever been tucked in before? When you were a child, did your mom and dad ever tuck you in? And do you recall how you felt when he did that? I still remember being tucked in by my dad. And when he tucked me in, it's like, I felt so loved. You know, the value of my life was right. You know, I just felt really valued there. And I felt a security and safety being tucked in. And I felt a peace and a comfort, you know, that I could just rest and go to sleep with no worries or any fears or anything like that going on. And that's why I picture God as being our champion, tucker inner. and as we look at the passage today, we'll discover important facts that David's going to discover. We're going to learn some things that David's learning about God. He continues to learn. He continues to flee from Saul, but he's growing. And also God is doing his thing, which is to show his great love and his sovereign grace that abounds to us, to him and to us even today. It's amazing, you know, when you look at the life of David, King David. You know, you hear his name. You know, he's very famous throughout history from his days on, and knowing that he grew and he experienced God's work in his life, and he experienced the ups and downs and the scary times of and the hard times of being in the wilderness and the scary times of fleeing for his life. And you know, we can take those things that he's learned and also apply them into our lives today. We might not be running from a Saul, but we might be running from something. Or we might have things, we might be in a wilderness right now in some way with, you know, health-wise or relationship-wise or job-wise or whatever, or just all the worries of this world isolate us from the help that would be there if we opened up. So today, I hope that this will help us learn as David learns, and we'll just give this to the Lord as well in this. So let's pray before we continue on. Father, yes, we do ask that your word will come alive today, Lord, and as these words that you give me, Lord, that they will be empowered by your Spirit, they will penetrate our very hearts and minds, and Lord, that you will transform us, that you will change us and teach us and refresh and renew us and strengthen us and encourage us, Lord. And so we can go forth from here to be a blessing to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors, even to people we might not even know, or even people that, you know, were people that weren't even we call friends. You know, that we can be a witness to them. Lord, teach us, and may your name be glorified in all of this. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, going back, I had Steve just read partially, and, you know, I'm going to go back over a little bit. You know, Samuel just died, so there's mourning going on, of course, of a great man, a man who is faithful to the Lord from his... From a little child. And God did amazing things through his life. And he was judge, he was prophet, he was priest. Well, who else do we know who's prophet and priest, right, and king? Well, that's Jesus. So he's kind of emulating a little bit about who Jesus is, a forerunner of Jesus. And he was a great man of God. And he was highly honored, as we can see. And David, of course, is fleeing, and there's characters of Nabal and Abigail there as well. And Nabal is a rich man, but they say he's surly and mean. Abigail's an intelligent woman and beautiful. And how did that ever happen? Well, they had arranged marriages back then. So, you know, it's good, you know. Hey, this guy's rich. Here's my girl. Here you go. And get married and enjoy life together. They're not thinking about anything much more than that, but taking care of their family as best they can. And so that's probably why that match was made. And actually became a blessing that God would use in this time as well. So David sends his men. You know, his men were protecting, you know, kind of out there. They're, you know, I guess as they were out there in the wilderness, they would make sure there would be no thieves or other people to come in and take those sheep and stuff like that. And then he says, oh, it's shearing time. I'm going to send some of my men, and they're going to come in there, and they're going to, hey, just to enjoy your great feast and bless you. You know, he's all the blessings are onto, you know, to Nabal as his men came to him. And here I think it says, say to him there in verse 6, say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. So that's a pretty nice greeting, right? And I know you're having a great celebration, and would you please, you know, show your joy by giving us something, you know, for kind of helping you out and stuff like that. Well, Nabal was going, huh? Who is this David? I don't know this David. He's just like all the rest of these guys, these slaves running away from their masters. Why should I give you any of my meat, anything of my milk, any of my food? Well, one thing Nabal certainly had a problem with is that he's a me, myself, and I guy. He did not acknowledge the Lord at all. And he was doing something that was very, very dangerous. And that was he was cursing the anointed one. David was the anointed king. And I think everybody knew that, even though Saul didn't want to admit it or give in to it. But so he was setting himself up for a big fall as well. Well, when the men came back to David, here's David's reaction there in verse 13. Each of you strap on your swords. Put on your swords, guys. We're going to get them. Mm-mm. This guy just stepped on my toe. Have you ever been dissed before? You know what I mean? Dissed in my day, we go diss, you know. Disrespect. Has anybody ever disrespected you before? Has anybody ever insulted you? And how did you respond to that? Right? How did you respond to that? Going, oh, thank you. And walk away all happy and nice. No. If you're like me, it's something called pride. Your pride just rises up within you. I don't care how humble of a person you are. When somebody steps on your toes, somebody disrespects you, there's just a pride. You just gotta go, oh. And then now your mind is, the strategy is going on. I want vengeance. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. At the time you're doing it. The issue is the consequences later. It might not be so sweet. In fact, they can be catastrophic. And David's pride rose up. And he was thinking with pride. And he was, I believe that I think it was 21, verse 21, 22, I marked down here. Let me just read that. This kind of his reaction here. He says, David had just said, it's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. Wow, he's out for blood. Yeah, he's feeling that. He feels like he's in the right, and he's going to take care of me, myself, and I. He's going to take care of business, right? so many of us would be there. Yeah, do it, David. We'd be one of his 600 men going, yeah, we'll strap on our swords. We're with you. We're with you, David. Problem is, pride can be very dangerous. Pride can blind us from something even more important, and that's love. And we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, I was listening to Alistair Begg on this passage, and he says, well, the best of men are men at best. And that means, you know, somebody like a David who is really great, but then he's not really all that. He's just a man. And he's fallible. And he has issues, and pride can come up and cause him to lose his standing of who he is and what God will have him to be. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, so whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. So I believe that David was forgetting love. In fact, he was not following one of the greatest commandments. You know, he had the Ten Commandments, but Jesus wrapped them all up in those two greatest commands of to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, he certainly wasn't loving his neighbor as himself. And he wasn't loving God in that, because love disappeared, because pride came in. And it's dangerous when that happens. See, he has a faulty expectation. A lot of people think, oh, I do good, I get good. I do evil, I get evil. That's what a lot of people live by, those principles in life. But it's not always so. Because Jesus hung on the cross for us. The righteous one, the good one, the perfect one, took all of our sin on us. So that certainly was good for good. He was taking on our evil and making it good. He was doing good for us while we're still his enemies. His love breaks through all of that. So Nabal, the stupid man, they call him a fool. Some descriptions also just call him stupid. I don't know why they would name him that. Or maybe he got this nickname later. I don't know. But he's certainly acting like this. And, you know, here's David showing all this patience with Saul, who's trying to take his life. But now we have to remember, Saul was the anointed king. So he was respecting that. But with Nabal, he's just a rich man, and he's stupid. He's a fool. And so now he's judging Nabal. He's being partial, right? He's going, oh, you don't deserve any love. You're nothing. So David is starting to tread on dangerous territory for himself. In fact, how God works, he's always testing, right? He's testing and testing the hearts of men and women. You know, he's definitely testing David. He's definitely testing to see where his heart is right now. And David is all puffed up, ready to go at it. He's going to take this matter into his own hands. Just like a lot of us try to take all matters and, you know, a matter in our hand without even seeking God first. Not asking him to go before us, to help us for guidance or for wisdom, for help. No, we just go and take care of ourselves, and that's where David is now. And there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. I was going to read it here. And it's about love. And it says here, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Uh-oh, listen to this. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Oh, man, David, let me see. If we had a scale, we're just going 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. He's getting F. All right? If you're a teacher, this guy's getting an F plus so far, following what love is, right? It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Well, David's on that. But listen to this. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Well, David is moving on that evil part. But this is true love. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's love. David is not showing that right now. And he's on very thin ice, as we might say, especially people in Canada, that he might just be disqualified for being what God has him to be in the near future, in his timing to be the king of the nation. See, he's shaping this man's heart. He's shaping your heart, my heart, in the times that we go through and how we are at. Are we going to step forward in pride and push love aside? Or are we going to humble ourselves and come to God and for our sakes, for our part is to love? It's a love, just like what the love is here, as defined there in 1 Corinthians. Powerful. Amazing. A young servant heard this and he's smart. He goes to Abigail and says, "Hey, we're in trouble. We need help. We need help." And, you know, this just shows how God is so sovereign. You know what I mean by sovereign? We were teaching that in our Good News Club last year. Sovereignty is his, he's in control of everything. And we see it again. See, God, you know, there's a point in his plan that he says, "Well, you know, David, I'm not going to let you go down this road like Saul did. No, I'm intervening." And he sends this servant to Abigail, and Abigail, because of her intelligence that the Lord blessed her with, she knew exactly what to do. See, she got the donkeys all loaded up, sent them ahead, and she went out too. And what did she do when she got to David? You know, I believe that God gave her a supernatural speech. I just don't see anybody speaking like this. This is amazing. When we look at her there in verse, I think, 23 through, I think, about 31, all that. She's saying, you know, she humbles herself. She's saying, "It's all me. It's on me. I take responsibility." And then she gives him all the gifts there. And then she says, "Don't worry about this Nabal guy. He's foolish. You know, God's going to deal with him." You know, and then she starts prophesying, saying, "God's setting up your kingdom. He's tucking you in, David. He's going to tuck you in like a little child. And you're in the best place you can ever be in his hand. So don't go there, David. Don't go to blood shedding way. Don't go. Don't take vengeance. Don't take this in your own hand." And God is working in all this. And he's just saying, "Leave it to me. Leave Nabal to me. Leave your enemies to me. I'll deal with them like you dealt with Goliath with that sling and that little rock. I'll do the same thing to your enemies as well." And then a little light. You know, well, before that, you know, one thing that we see that for David, it's very important here. See, in pride, when you're walking in pride and you're getting all huffy-puffy and you're out for vengeance, a lot of times when somebody who is speaking to you with wisdom and love and humility and all that, you know, a lot of people will just go, "Get out of my way. You know, I'm on my way. Don't get in my way. I've been there. Don't get in my way. And I'll just keep on going." David was different here. See, she asked him, "Hey, listen to me, David. Listen to my words." And what did David do? He listened. He had a soft heart still. His heart was not hard like a saw who would just brush by and say, out of my way. You got nothing for me. I'm going to take care of business. No, David said, oh, you're speaking in words of wisdom. You're showing me humility. And it started to churn in his mind here. What's going on? See, he's being talked down. This is actually a great speech for peacemaking, truthfully. Coming in humility and just saying, hey, don't worry about that. That's nothing. That'll be taken care of. And you know what's going to happen? This is these good things for you. You got an awesome future ahead of you. Don't go down this way because then you'll have blood on your hands. And that will always be on your heart. And that will always be there for guilt, causing a guilty conscience. And you don't want that. So David listened. Very important. Very crucial. And not only did he listen, then he started to understand a little bit more. And in verse 32, he says this, David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord. the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. Ooh, there's that sovereignty, right? God took this woman who was warned by this young servant, and he sent her directly into his path just at the right time and gave her the words to speak to David. And now David is going, bing! Oh, God, I see you. You're helping me. You're restraining. We call, Alistair Begg called it restraining grace. And that's exactly what it is. Restraining grace. David doesn't earn it. It's just from God taking care of his own. Because he said he would. And he's faithful to his promises. And so he went and restrained him. I've been restrained. I don't know about you, if you've ever felt that restraining grace in your life. Sometimes you think, oh, back then, and if it wasn't for that person that spoke that word to me, or if it wasn't that song I heard on a radio, or if it wasn't for that word in the Bible that God reminded me of at that point, or going out and seeing a beautiful flower or a bird flying or just something that just reminded me, oh, who am I? I'm not that. But I am loved. I am loved by my Creator. Restraining grace. And so he praises God for this restraining grace there. And then he goes, may you be blessed, he's talking to Abigail, for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day. And from avenging myself with my own hands. See, he's seeing this now. He sees this clearly. Hey, man, I was going down the wrong road. Oh, but Lord, you sent the right person speaking the right words, restraining me from that. And then in verse 39, he says this, when David heard that Nabal was dead, see, Nabal, God took care of him. God dealt with Nabal. And then he says, praise be to the Lord. Here he goes again. Who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head. Wow. It's all coming together for David now. And so he tells Abigail, go home in peace. Go home in peace. God's restraining grace abounding. And so our champion, what does it mean about a champion? Well, a champion, somebody who champions for somebody else, is somebody that actually goes before them, right? I was writing it down a couple of things here. It says from different scriptures, different translations of this scripture. He says, one of them says, stood up for me. So a champion stands up for you. A champion upholds your cause. A champion avenges you. They go before you and get it done, like what God did against David against Nabal. A champion pleads your cause. See, this is what we have here in the Lord. See, He is our champion. He's tucked us in. Are you tucked in today? Are you tucked in by His grace, His restraining grace? Are you tucked in? Do you feel safe and secure? Do you feel loved to where your value just overflows? Do you feel that peace and that comfort in your life? See, in the evening, we are to remember, and even during the day, as we walk, we are to seek the Lord. Allow Him to minister to us, and He can tuck us in even on our walk during the day. Because we know who He is. See, we don't have to be a Saul. And we don't have to be a prideful David and just forget about love and start taking care of our own business. No, God is calling us to something more. Something that takes courage. Takes courage. It takes action. It takes humility. It takes a vision of the future, knowing that it is assured already in Christ and all He's done for us on the cross. We cannot take care of our own salvation. It has been given to us freely by the rich price of Christ on the cross for us. So now that has been given so freely and richly to us, then may we be the same and give freely of the love that we have received daily, even to the people who are unlovable. People who we call Nabal, fool, stupid, or an enemy, or somebody trying to kill us or harm us in some way, like Saul. No, He's calling us to love. He's calling us, when we get disrespected in our life, and you're all tucked in, and all of a sudden all the blankets just fall off. Your feathers get ruffled, as they say. And you start feeling that pride coming up, and I got to take care of me, myself, and I got to take care of my family. I got to do this for me. When you start feeling that pride bubbling up, well, remember David. And remember the restraining grace of the Lord. And remember this more importantly. Remember the love that we have received through Christ, His Son, that He sent for us on the cross. Remember that love that was poured out on the cross for us. Not that we earned it or deserved it at all. But remember that love and grow in it. Push aside the pride and say, no, I'm not going there. First of all, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to what the Lord has for me through a brother and sister in Christ or the Word that He'll speak to me through reading the Bible or a song or His creation just speaking to me and reminding me that I am His son. I am His daughter. I love you more than anything. I love you so much that it can't be measured. You can't grasp it all. See, listen to that. When you listen to that, you start turning from the pride. And you start becoming humble. And then, not only do you listen, but then you live it, right? You leave matters into the Lord's hands. When people ruffle your feathers, you don't have to take care of it on your own. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Give that person, give that situation to the Lord. Allow Him to deal with it in His own time, in His own way. Oh, it is, comes out so much better than when we go out in our prideful ways and try to take care of ourselves. And boy, oh, do we make a mess of things. I've been there. I'm still there this day. So leave the matters to his, in his hand. Love. Listen. I'm sorry. Listen. Leave the matters in the Lord's hands. And love the people around you. Those are the three L's you should remember as David just learned himself. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your great love and the hope that we have in you. And Lord, for this loving word that you have here, Father, for us all. I have this, and I just want to read this as I pray as well. There in Corinthians, she said, when we were dead in our sins and in uncircumcised flesh, God made us alive with Christ. You forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. You, Father, have taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, you made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You are a great champion. Won a great victory for us. May we walk in that victory. And may we always listen to you. May we always leave these matters in your sovereign hand. And may we walk in love. Love others. Love others as you love us. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' precious name. And all of his people say, amen.